Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you are upset by the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and frankly, who of us isn't, there are two questions that I believe must be asked and answered. This is Wretched Radio. Question number one, why? Question number two, what? Question one, why has this event grabbed all of us by the throats and caused such an outpouring of grief? I've seen it on social media, the YouTube videos, people in the streets, they're crying and they're mourning. I saw it Sunday morning at Alpharetta Bible Church. During Bible study, we talked about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It takes a lot to displace Bible study time at our church. But we spoke about it because it was so heavy on the hearts of so many people. And the question is, why? And how we answer that question, it'll determine your answer to the second question. What are we going to do about this? I suppose, if anything, I guess that's one of the options. For Christians, I don't think passivity is ever the right response. How we respond to why I'm so consternated about this will determine what we do in response to it. These are important questions, so let's dive into them. And I believe that when we are done, I firmly believe this, there'll be something that you can actually do beyond being hurt, beyond being afraid, beyond complaining, beyond passing memes that talk about how horrible progressivism is. You can actually do something that will have an impact and affect a greater change than perhaps you think is even possible. Question number one, why are we so upset? The reports, they're just everybody is talking about how moved and disturbed they were by this, and that churches were more populated Sunday, specifically because people are feeling so jarred by what happened to Charlie Kirk. We saw that at Alpharetta Bible Church. There were at least three people that I met who said, I haven't been to church in a bit. But after what happened this week, I just felt that I had to be here. Charlie Kirk has dominated our conversations. Maybe he's dominated your TV viewing. And it's understandable because this is a big deal. Assassinations, they tend to light revolutions and wars and cause people to kill one. I mean, assassinations are no small thing. And certainly, we're not going to respond that way. But I think in order to determine what our response should be, we need to answer the question, why are we so upset by this particular assassination? He wasn't even a politician. Now, I have put together, compiled 11 reasons. There could be more. I'm not going to say which one is appropriate or right because, all right, here's a spoiler alert. I think they're all good reasons for being upset, but I think there's one in particular that I wonder how many have even considered. And I think it's the biggie. And I think it's the one that will guide our response to the wickedness we saw in Utah. Which one of these you choose as the primary reason will determine your response. Here we go, my list of 11. Number 11, this event, I think, put the national divide into stark motif, didn't it? Man, you got really different worldviews going on here. If you recall, at the death of George Floyd, people rioted, destroyed. They even murdered people. After the death of Charlie Kirk, what have we seen? Prayer vigils, public worship. What? I mean, this event was a wicked act that brought that difference into crystal clarity. We got two different nations here. We've got two different set of values because we've got two different worldviews in general. And I think the Charlie Kirk assassination just made that so clear and brought it home so powerfully. Number 10, we were eyewitnesses to free speech being executed. Number 9, this was an assault on the America we once knew. We all want happy days. We want to go back to the honeymooners. The honeymooners isn't a good example. We want to go back to when things were more sane. And when we witnessed Charlie Kirk being shot on a stool in front of thousands of students, imagine the impact on those kids. Imagine the impact on those who saw it up close and personal. We go, oh, we've lost this place. I want to go back. Is that why you're so upset? Just ask. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just asking. Number 8. Being lectured that our side is to blame for what their side did is downright infuriating. Number 7. The response of the people who celebrated Charlie's murder is disgusting. It's like, hello, Romans 1 called. It's clear that these are depraved minds that actually affirm wickedness, celebrate it. We're just, that it's such darkness. How could, it's traumatic. I'm going to use that word. It's traumatic. Seeing somebody murdered, that's traumatic. Hearing the response of professors and teachers and politicians that are more than happy about this young man's death, that's jarring. Number 6 reason why so many of us are so upset, the sense that basic norms, you know, the free speech, freedom of religion, just plain civility, that we can exchange ideas without hurting one another, mutual respect, nonviolence, they're all collapsing. And maybe we fear our kids are just not going to inherit the good old USA, but something totally different. Number 5, it appears to be proof that the trans movement could indeed be a violent movement. Number 4, we may have feared that Charlie's death was the death of what appears to be a Gen Z conservative political resurgence. I think that that's happening on the campuses. And maybe for some, it's like, oh, no. Number 3, how's about Charlie's family? Ugh. Number 2, our brother was martyred in the prime of his life. Now you say, martyred, we don't know the motive of the guy who shot him. And I agree, that might be a reason to pause and not identify this as martyrdom. But because Charlie's faith and his politics were so intertwined, I think it's fair to say that he was martyred at the age of 31. And as a brother in Christ, that just... But finally, here's... the number 1 reason, I'm not sure what numerical order you want to put these in, but I suspect this is the one that maybe most of us haven't considered. This shooting represented the countless people whose minds are not just darkened, but who are going to die and go to hell. Were you upset for that reason? I think all of these reasons have validity, but may I ask, did reason number 1 ever cross your mind? I'm not trying to be sanctimonious. I'm just asking, because we need to remember the mission on which our captain embarked was for the salvation of souls. And when you see something that reveals the fruit of lostness, shouldn't it cause us to go, whoa, these people, they're totally depraved and going to hell? Did Charlie's execution and all it represents cause you to fear for the fate of the ungodly? Perhaps more specifically, did it energize you to share the gospel? Listen carefully to the words of Charlie himself. Charlie said, the only hope for this country is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are Charlie's words, and he was absolutely right. If this event disturbed you, as it most certainly has, we can have many reasons for being upset, but I think we should have the ache, the desire to see souls saved and Christ's kingdom populated. That's why the answer to our first question is so crucial. You see, if you and I only experience grief because of the first 10 reasons, all valid, that's going to elicit a particular response. If you're only grieved because of the temporal impact of this tragedy, then our responses will be temporal. We'll spend more time and energy on political engagement, donating money to political candidates, attending rallies to petition our government to keep us safe. All options for you, all well and good. But may I remind you again of what Charlie said? The only hope for this nation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if we believe that, and if we are shocked by the death of Charlie Kirk as to the lostness of our nation, then our response should be obvious. Preach the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing, or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There are a myriad of potential responses from a myriad of Christians regarding the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But might I suggest all of us should be startled by the lostness of a nation and be motivated to be engaged in evangelism. This is Wretched Radio. While I'm really glad that Turning Point, Charlie Kirk's ministry, received over 18,000 requests after his wife Erica spoke publicly. 18,000 requests to start a Turning Point chapter on a university campus. That's wow. Whoa. But for Christians, I think that there should be 36,000 churches that respond by creating an evangelism program inside of their own churches and be about the business of our master. This horrific event should awaken us to the need to evangelize, not simply because of the societal impact it will have, and it will. We can be excited that, hey, if we evangelize people, their politics change. It does. Inevitably, it does. When people get genuinely born again, they start to vote more biblically, which, of course, leans to the right. And that's a good thing. That's a benefit. But chiefly, we should be motivated to evangelize because we don't want totally depraved sinners to face the furious wrath of God. Now, this is not an easy ask, especially in this moment. When you've just seen wickedness and you've seen the response of people celebrating this young man's murder, it's like, how do we love such an unlovable world? Well, I think we need to go to our Bibles to sort that. The Bible shows us, I think, that there are many ways to love people, but there's only one way to love people to the max. What are the ways that we can love people? These are all valid ways that we can genuinely express love for those who are lost. We can serve them in some way. That's good. We can give them money. That's good. We can go dig wells. That's good. But those are all temporal things. When the money runs out, well, then the problems are still there. When the well runs dry, there's no water for them to consume, and they certainly have not digested spiritual water. Nevertheless, those are nice ways to love people. Another way that we can love people well is by being engaged in politics. That's right. We can indeed be engaged in the political process, and everybody gets to decide to what degree that they are engaged. And that does indeed help love people temporally, because laws get enacted that help human flourishing, that keep people safe. That's a nice way to love people, but that is not the way the Bible reveals is the supreme way to love people. What is the greatest way to love unlovable people? Well, we need to go see the greatest expression of love in the cosmos. And that love was revealed 2,000 years ago when God sent his son to die for sinners. He died for people who were so wicked. We're preaching through this at Alpharetta Bible Church. How our Savior was treated by people like Caiaphas, the scribes and the elders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, not to mention the Romans, the soldiers, Pontius Pilate, two criminals who hung with him and taunted him. Jesus was, his execution lasted hours, and it was brutal, and it was bloody, and it was degrading. He was spat upon. He was mocked by individuals that he came to save. Why? Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to this planet to reveal God's love by dying for us while we were yet sinners. And this is love. That's it. The greatest expression of love is Jesus Christ dying for sinners. So if we want to show great love to an unlovable world, I think there's a couple of things that need to happen. First of all, we need to digest that love ourselves. We need to stare at the great love that Jesus had for sinners, that he died for people that stripped him naked. There's a detail of our Savior's humiliation. I hesitated to even mention this Sunday at church because it is something that should not be discussed in polite society, but it is historic. And it is indeed one of the reasons I think that Matthew just did a drive-by on the details of the crucifixion. It was too gruesome. You know, the flogging, the cat of nine tails, his back looked like spaghetti. They whipped the back of his legs. The thing probably came around, whipped his face. He was so marred, you couldn't even tell he was a human. Put a crown of thorns on his head. He was bleeding, hypovolemia, radiating pain throughout his body. But this detail reminds us how much our Savior loves horrible people. He was not allowed to go use a porta potty. I think that's enough. This went on for hours, not to mention the beating, the hanging on a cross, the effect on bodily functions. It's what our Savior endured for sinners. Why? Because he was determined to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we want to love an unlovable world, we need to remember that's what he did for me, because I'm the unlovable world. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. 'Twas my sins that held him there. I need to remember what he did for me. Then, knowing that that is the greatest love of all, I want to show that love to others and share the gospel, because we want people to know the love of God in Christ Jesus, because that's what God wants. We want to see Christ's kingdom populated. We want to participate in the movement Jesus started 2,000 years ago, when he was beaten and flogged and spat upon, mocked, tortured, shamed, abused, and hung on a tree for everyone to see and deride. Now, Christian, you are most certainly free to apply your time, your energy, and your talents as you see fit. Everybody has to make that decision. It is between each individual and the Lord. But might I encourage you to consider putting your evangelistic efforts at the top of your priority list, so that souls will be won and Jesus will receive the honor that is due his name, not because we want a better country with better politicians, but because we have a heart for the lost and a passion to see our King celebrated for the great work he accomplished. It looked like a bloody defeat. It was the greatest victory of all time. And God wants other people to know the love he expressed there when he gave us eternal life. God wants to be glorified through the salvation of sinners. So I would like to suggest to you, would you please ponder how you could be involved in our Savior's mission? You think, I can't. I'm not gifted to be an evangelist. Fair enough. I still think that we are all called to evangelize, and there are all ways we can participate. There are all ways we can do this. So here's five ways that you can participate in expanding the kingdom of God's Christ. Number one, you can pray. I don't care where you are. You are no longer ambulatory. You can pray. Pray for the lost. Pray for those who go to proclaim to the lost. Two, organize an evangelism team at your church. Please, I got it. Our evangelism team said on Saturday, it was, people were like coming up to them this week. Hey, can you share with me what do you think about all of this? The people that they've been witnessing to before who didn't seem all that interested suddenly were, go, get an evangelism team put together at your church. Number three, support that team. Maybe you don't go yourself, but you can drive them there. You can just accompany them, stand around and pray while they're there. You can bake cookies for them to give away. You can buy the tracks. You can participate in evangelism even if you don't share the gospel yourself. Number two, hold the rope for those who go by supporting evangelistic ministries financially. Support them. If it's just, you're participating in evangelism even if you don't go, if you provide the means for others to go. Find a ministry that goes to campuses, that evangelizes. Support them, and you'll be participating in the Great Commission. And finally, might I encourage you, go yourself. Take your righteous anger, your fear, your heartache, and channel it in the direction that will make an eternal difference. The kingdom of America, like every kingdom before it, it will fall. Frankly, I think it is falling, if it hasn't fallen already. Jesus didn't invade this planet to make Israel great again. Sorry, he came to die for sinners so that the love of God could be put on full display for eternity. This is our biblical mandate. This is what Charlie Kirk believed. So let's be obedient to the Great Commission. Let's even honor Charlie by engaging in the most important work there is, the work of evangelism. This is Wretched Radio.